podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
As it takes a few seconds for someone to get up here. My hope is that you're not uncomfortable. My hope is that you can trust in the Lord. I want to share with you this morning from God's Word to my heart, from my heart to your ears. And my hope and my prayer is that from your ears, it will reach your heart. And I want to share with you something that may seem so elementary and so simple, but drastically life-changing. Here's what I want you to do before we get started. I want you to imagine with me. So whatever you have to do to imagine, if you have to close your eyes or if you have to like sing, just do that quietly. But if you whatever you have to do to imagine, and I understand for some of us that's a little more difficult, but imagine with me, okay? Your all-time favorite band or singer or performer, whether dead or alive, is coming to town, okay? Now, if they're dead, I know that's a little difficult, but just, you know, hit rewind. But they're coming to town, okay? You can't get tickets because it's been sold out for months, okay? So you're a little disheartened. Oh, okay, thank you for imagining with me. You're a little disheartened. But here's what you understand. Between the Colosseum and their tour bus is a wide space, right? So I can't get tickets, but I'm going to go, and I'm hoping to catch a glimpse of my favorite, you know, band, person, singer, while they, you know, walk from their bus to the Colosseum, okay? You're excited. You don't share with anyone because, you know, you want to be the only one there, okay? The day comes, all right? You drive out to where their concert's going to be held. You know, you pull into the parking lot. You see their really big tour bus. It's one of those, Fix This House shows, you know, where he says, move the bus. It's one of those really big buses, right? And you pull in from this side, right? The bus, the line, and then the Colosseum. You're like, all right, I'm the only one here. You get out of your car. You walk around the bus, and to your surprise, you're not their only fan that couldn't get tickets. And you find yourself in a crowd, a large crowd of fans of your favorite band or your favorite singer, okay? When you find yourself in this crowd, you also realize that they're a lot bigger and a lot taller than you are. And that if you stay where you're at, you're probably not going to get to really see that person that you want to see. You know, you might have to do one of those, I saw his face, kind of things. And if you're a true fan, and you've truly imagined with me for these last few minutes, my question for you is, what would you do to be able to see them? Hey, maybe if you're lucky, get a picture with them. Hey, maybe if you're favored, even get an autograph. What would you do for that band and that once-in-a-lifetime experience? Dear God, I thank you that your word is true and that your word is still alive today as it was when it was written, God. And God, I pray as we look into your word, God, that you would speak to our hearts, God. God, more of you and less of me. God, I pray that you would soften the hearts and open the ears, God, to hear your message this morning. It's in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. So here's what I want to do. I want to dig in to a story that if you grew up in church, you're familiar with, and that is the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, okay? If you grew up in church, you know this story, okay? If you're anything like me, it made the once-a-year Sunday school lesson, and you heard it 10 years when you were going from Sunday school to Sunday school, and it's a great story, and there's a lot within the story. It's such a great story that there's a song about the story. I'm not going to sing for you, but there's a song about the story. If you have your Bibles, if you'll open them to Luke chapter 19. And we're going to read from verses 1 through 10. Here's what it says. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. First verse tells you this. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. So right off the bat, here's what you know. It's one of those, you know, I'm coming through, I'm not staying, I'm not on like, you know, a month visit, I'm just kind of coming through. In essence, that concert I asked you to envision, that's just one night of a world tour. Jesus is just passing through. And he's passing through, and a man, and here's in verse 2 is where you get your main character. And it's going to basically define him and describe him for you. A man by the name of Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. So right off the bat, here's what you know. Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector and he's loaded, okay? He's got a lot of moolah. Chief tax collector basically is the person in charge of the other tax collectors. The tax collectors, they're going to go collect their taxes, and then they're going to report back to him, and he's going to take his cut out of their taxes. Here's what you also need to understand. It is widely kind of thought and believed that tax collectors of that day were a little crooked and would tax at a higher rate than what they were supposed to put money in their pocket. So in essence, he's the chief of that, which is why he's wealthy. So, right out the gate, Zacchaeus has got a high position and he's wealthy. But it continues. A man there, Zacchaeus, he wanted to see who Jesus was. Your first point this morning is this. Even though Zacchaeus had wealth, he wanted to see Jesus. And there's a wonderful lesson in just the first two verses. Because Zacchaeus had basically what the world had to offer. And the world had to offer a lot. Okay? And he was wealthy. And he didn't go about it the right way to get that wealth, but he had gone about it and he had acquired his wealth. He had a great position. You know, he was the chief, but yet he still wanted to see Jesus and see what Jesus was all about. See, the world is going to offer you a lot of things. Okay? And it's the way it works. It's to fill that void or that emptiness, whether it be money or whether it be clothing, whether it be possessions, to fill that emptiness. And Zacchaeus had walked down that road, he'd acquired it all, and he still felt empty. And he wanted to see who Jesus was and what Jesus was about. So he took the first step, and he went out, to see Jesus as he passed through Jericho. And as he's passing through Jericho, Jesus approaches this crowd and he realizes that he's short. And the verse tells you another description that defines Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. He was wealthy, but he was also short. Okay? I'm not the tallest person. I'm not the shortest, but I'm not the tallest. I know what it's like to have someone stand in front of you and not be able to see. And if you can imagine a crowd in front of you, and it's your chance in a lifetime to see Jesus as he passes through, and you can't see, and you're kind of bobbing and weaving, trying to nothing. And you don't want to miss this opportunity. And here's where Zacchaeus takes a step. Zacchaeus doesn't settle to just take a glimpse or to see a split second of Jesus as he walks by. Zacchaeus makes a move. He realizes that the pathway that Jesus is going to be walking, it looks like it's going to be this way. Up there, there's a fig tree, a sycamore fig tree. I can climb it. If I climb it, I'll get a better view. And if he comes by me, hey, maybe I'll get a picture. I know they don't have cameras. But maybe I'll get a picture. You know, hey, this will be good. So he kind of detours around the crowd where Jesus is presently, and he goes ahead. And he climbs this tree to get a better view of Jesus when Jesus passes by. This is where we differentiate from the story. Because if you will flash back with me to Imagination Land where we were a few minutes ago, your favorite band is in town. Your favorite performer, your favorite singer is in town. You can't get tickets, but you can go to this crowd and you can try and see. And a lot of us, there's three things you'll do. One is you'll kind of be the nice person, and you kind of do the little shove, little by little, and work your way through, trying to get to the front. If you've ever been to a concert, that's what you do. If you're a Christian, you kind of maneuver without hurting anyone's feelings intentionally, and you get to the front. You settle to try and get as close as you can without hurting anybody. But others of us, we stay where we're at, and we once again settle for the view that we have. We become satisfied with the fact that, hey, I might get to see him for a split second, and that's good enough for me. Woohoo! Others of us do something crazy. Do something crazy to make sure that we get to see the band or the person. Hey, and if they see us, even better. We do some crazy things. Zacchaeus did something crazy. And it may not seem crazy to you because you're like, Daniel, he climbed up a tree. Really? But Jesus is here, right? And there's a massive crowd. So he's, you know, within feet, if you'll imagine with me, within feet of Jesus, but there's a bunch of people in front of him. So instead of trying to push through or just kind of accepting the fact, he goes onward down the road where Jesus is hopefully going to pass by, where he can get a view, and climbs a tree. And hopes, crosses his fingers, you know, and is like, please, Lord, let your son walk by. He does something crazy because he wants more than just a glimpse at Jesus. He wants to be able to see him. Hey, and if he can get a picture or an autograph, even better. So he climbs a tree and he waits for Jesus to arrive. And the third point for you this morning is this. Jesus recognized Zacchaeus' commitment and his desire and blessed him for it. Church, Jesus is here today. And we are fortunate enough that he's not just passing through. But the problem is that the crowd discourages us. And I don't mean the crowd of people. But here's what the crowd represents. The crowd is the stumbling blocks, you know, the hurdles, the walls, the temptations, the addictions that Satan is going to put before us so that we don't reach that once-in-a-lifetime experience. And for some of us this morning, that crowd, those hurdles, it ain't worth it. You know what? I'm going to settle right where I'm at. You know, maybe I'll get a glimpse. You know, hey, Sunday and Wednesday, I'll experience Jesus, but I'm not going to get closer. For others, the hurdles, the obstacles, the walls are just overwhelming. So we throw our hands up, we give up, we go home. But I hope if you're one of those two groups, you know, and for a lot of us, whether you're willing to admit it or not, for a lot of us, the hurdles at times, the distractions, they just seem like too much. And we settle. Hey, I'm okay. You know, I know Jesus. You know, we do the whole singing thing, you know, once a week. And, you know, I read the word once a week. But to have a chance at a face-to-face conversation, you wouldn't settle if it was your all-time favorite band, if you're a fan. You wouldn't settle to just stand there and get a glimpse. You've come too far. You're within feet. You're not going to settle. Some of you are going to do some crazy, stupid things, but, you know, you're going to do something crazy to get their attention, to get a chance at more than a glimpse. And I hope you find encouragement in point number 3. Jesus recognized Zacchaeus' commitment and desire and blessed him for it. Zacchaeus did something crazy, climbed a tree, and Jesus recognized him. Verse doesn't say, hey, you, come down. Zacchaeus, come down from that tree immediately. I want to hang out with you today. Back to imagination land. You do something crazy. You get the attention of the band. And they're like, yeah, woohoo, yeah, all right. Hey, how about you just, you know, after the concert, just come hang out. We're just, you know, hang out on the tour bus. You know, we'll sign some autographs for you. That's like flipping awesome. You're like, woohoo! If you're a true fan. If you're not, you're like, well, I got to be at home. But that's okay. You know, some of us have curfews. But the reward for your effort is great. And a band, no matter how great you swear up and down that they are, is just a group of people. Jesus, the Son of God, and the opportunity to see him motivated Zacchaeus to do something crazy. And because he did something crazy, Jesus decided, hey, I'm just passing through, but while I'm here, I want to hang out with you. Hello, Jesus, Son of God, hang out with me. Ha ha, woohoo! It's a party. You know, you climb down that tree as fast as you can, and you take him to your crib, and you're like, hey, this is it. Look at all the wealth I've acquired. Look at the plasma TVs. They don't have those back then. You know, look at the rocks. It's a wonderful collection. That one boulder, you know, that came, but you know, whatever they did back then. He invites him over. And they get to fellowship. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, wanted to know what Jesus was all about. It was a once-in-a-lifetime kind of experience, and he didn't back down, and he didn't give up. Church, we cannot give up. My fear this morning, my heart, is that several of us are at a place where we've grown comfortable. I'm good. Yeah, you know, I can see him. He walked by. Woohoo! I got a picture. There's 18 other people's heads, but his is in there. You know, we're settling. And even worse, for some of us, we're so burnt out on even trying that we're turning around and walking back and just giving up. But think about it. If it was your all-time favorite band, I'm not going to tell you who mine is because none of you would know, but if it was your all-time favorite band, you would not give up that easily. And once again, it's just a band. You might get a picture. You might get an autograph. That'd be awesome. You know, you display it on your set of rocks, and it would be really cool. Zacchaeus did something crazy, and he was rewarded for it. He got the ultimate fan follower package. He didn't just get a glimpse. He didn't just get a picture or an autograph. He got Jesus' full attention. He spent the day with Jesus. Point number 4, and we're just going to jump right into it. And here's where it gets a little rough. And if you look at verse 8, it says this. But Zacchaeus, no, verse 7, sorry. All the people saw this and began to mutter. He has gone to be a guest of a sinner. See, Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and the chief tax collector at that, which really, you know, in the eyes of the society, puts you at a great sinner level. So you don't deserve, to have lunch or even hang out with Jesus. So when Jesus looks up and says, hey, come down, I want to hang out with you, these same people who are there to see him walk by, who have the same hopes and the same, you know, hey, it's Jesus, Son of God, woohoo, turn on him. Why is he going to hang out with him? That makes no sense. Why would you go? That's not pointless. People are going to talk when they see that you are called and you have been chosen. People are going to talk when they see that you are called and you have been chosen. Ultimately, those closest to you are going to have the hardest time with it because they know you. They know your struggles. They know your addictions. They know your past. But the cool part about this story is Jesus doesn't care. He doesn't, oh, you're right, I shouldn't hang out with him. He pays no attention. Jesus doesn't care about Zacchaeus' past. He is aware of what Zacchaeus has done, but he doesn't care. He just wants to hang out with Zacchaeus. Let me put it to you this way, Zacchaeus, Jesus doesn't care about your past. He only cares about your future. He knows where you've been. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows the barriers that are between you and him. But he sees the potential. Ultimately, that's what it is. He sees the potential in Zacchaeus. And he says, Zacchaeus, hey, you're dedicated. I see the desire. I know you're not there. I know you're not 100% perfect yet, but I see the desire. And I just want to pour into you. You did something crazy. So let me pour into you. People are going to talk regardless. But ultimately, you can change. And God knows the desires of each and every one of your hearts. Point number five is this. Zacchaeus gives up everything to follow Jesus. Verse number 8, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. Let me do some simple math for you. Let's just say Zacchaeus was worth 10 stones, and those 10 stones, he gives 5 of them to the poor. He's now worth 5 stones, okay? The way that he has acquired his wealth is by being crooked and taking more than was his. So let's just say mathematically it was 50%. So he's worth now 5 million. Stick with me. Worth 5 million. Worth 5 rocks. 5 million rocks? No. He's worth 5 rocks, right? He gave 5. He's now worth 5. But he owes 20. Because he said, I'll pay you back 4 times. Zacchaeus gave it all up. Every single rock, every single penny, everything he had to follow Jesus. Because he understood that the wealth and the position that he had was not going to give him the feeling of completion that Jesus did. No, Daniel is not asking you to give up all your money to the church. By no means. Because let's be honest. If Jesus wanted your money, he'd have it because it's his. And you're just borrowing it. He's trusted you with it. But here's what I'm telling you. Zacchaeus, in the first 2 verses, is defined and described as a chief tax collector and wealthy. And those things define him. And he doesn't want to be defined by that anymore. He wants to be defined as a Jesus follower. So he gives up the things that define him to be defined as a Jesus follower. So what am I saying? Here's what I'm saying. Whatever it is that defines you, if it's not Jesus and your relationship with Jesus, then that's what he wants you to give up 100% completely. So whatever, whether it's a relationship that you know you shouldn't be in, or whether it's trying to accumulate as much as you can while you're on earth so that you can say, I did this. Or whether it's an addiction or a habit that you have that defines you. That's what he wants you to give up. He wants you to give that up 100% completely. You know, more so than you even have to give it up so that you can be 100% his again. Zacchaeus gave up everything to follow Jesus. He came to the understanding that what this world had to offer, which was a lot, was worthless. And it couldn't satisfy the desire in his heart, that emptiness. And it wasn't worth it. But Jesus was. So he gave it all up. Point number 6, and we close, is this. God wants you on his team. You are called and you have been chosen. God wants you on his team. Let me rephrase that for you. God te quiere en su equipo. That's Spanish for God wants you on his team. God wants you. He's aware of your mistakes. He's aware of the things that have gone wrong, the sin that encompasses your life, but he still wants you. He's not worried about your past. He's focused on your future. God wants you on his team. You are called and you are qualified and you are chosen. But ultimately, it comes down to you. It comes down to a choice that you have to make. Because in all honesty, if we're being real, and be real with yourself, be honest with yourself. If you find yourself at a place where you're this close, you know, to God, but there's a whole bunch of obstacles and addictions and habits and struggles that are really just keeping you from being 100% all in, you know, having lunch, sitting down with God. You find yourself there and you're just like, you know what, it's fine. You know, I'm going to heaven, so I'm good. You know, it's going to be okay. You know, I wish I could have what that little kid's speaking about up there. I wish I could have a relationship with Jesus the way he's defining it. I wish that every morning when I woke up, you know, we could do breakfast together. And when we walked and we talked and we prayed and when we worshiped, we would experience God. But you know what? There's so many hindrances. There's so many distractions. There's so many hurdles. It's just not worth it. I'm going to stay where I'm at. And for those of you in this room who may be even further along going, Daniel, I'm at a point where I'm done. It's just not worth it. I tried. I came. You know, but I can't get over this hurdle. So I'm not going to see him. I'm not going to get the picture. I'm not going to get the autograph. So I'm going home. I'm giving up. I hope you find encouragement in the fact that Zacchaeus was rewarded for doing something crazy, for climbing a tree. God saw the desires of his heart, and he rewarded him for it. My hope, my prayer for you is not that you find satisfaction in the things of this world, and in acquiring great wealth and great popularity or positions in your workplace or in your school, but that you lay it all down and say, I'm a Jesus follower. And that you get a little crazy for God. A little crazy would be lightly speaking about me, myself, truly. I'm very crazy. It's just how I'm wired. But if that's the worst thing they can say about me is that I'm crazy, hey, so be it. Get a little crazy, you know? He's right in front of you, arms wide open. And I know there's hurdles. I know there's obstacles. For some of us, there's brick walls that we have to just tear down. But you do crazy things for a band. Why won't you do crazy things for a once-in-a-lifetime relationship with God? Zacchaeus was rewarded. And I believe in my heart that God will reward you. God wants for you to want Him as much as you want that crazy band that you thought about. God wants for us to long for a deeper relationship with Him. And sometimes it's going to take you doing something crazy. As I close this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to do something crazy. And I call it crazy, even though to some of us it's not. I'm going to open this altar area as we close in our course. And if you find yourself being open and honest with yourself, saying, you know what, God, those hurdles, they've kept us apart. Those sins or those habits or those addictions, they've hindered our relationship. I would like to invite you to do something crazy and come to the front and kneel in the house of the Lord and speak to Him. For those of you in this room also who are at the point where you're like, Daniel, you don't understand the hurdles. You have really, you're like a kid. I encourage you to do something crazy. Even if it's one last time, if this is your like last hurrah, I encourage you to do something crazy. Step out of your comfort zone and come to the front. Kneel in the presence of the Lord. Because that's where you're at. Two or more gathered, He is here. And speak to Him. And I believe in my heart, I spoke to Him this morning, I believe in my heart that He will bless you. I believe in everything that I have within me that you can have a deeper relationship with God. It's just going to take you doing something a little crazy. And here's the crazier part, church, because it's a we thing. If you're a family member, if you're a loved one, if you're a deacon, if your friend, if your son, if your child, if someone you don't even know decides that they're going to be crazy and they're going to call upon the name of the Lord, I encourage you, I implore you to come down and to pray with them, to lay hands on them. Because the Bible tells us that two, come on, why? Thank you. And a three-chord strand is not easily broken. I'm going to let that one slide, young people. Two are better than one. And it's, you know, it's crazy to some people because you've got to stand up and you've got to walk to the front in front of all these people to talk to God. And that's crazy to some. To others, it's no biggie. But I know that at times, personally, coming forward is a struggle. Because in my mind, what are others going to think? Point number four, people are going to talk. God don't care. He sees the potential, and He longs for you to draw deeper and closer to Him. So I encourage you, as we sing, as we lift our voices in worship, if there's hurdles, if there's boundaries, if you just become comfortable, if you're about to give up, I encourage you to do something crazy. Kneel in the presence of the Lord. Call upon His name. And just watch Him bless you.